Podcastlandia, I am here today with our very own Mrs. Moody Bear, corsets and cardigans, the woman who has more names than I have fix, I think, at this point. And we are delighted, but most importantly, our resident librarian and a delightful mod at Pod on the Suit, co-mod. Moody, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're going to jump right on in. And give it to us. What's the fandom origin story?
So I've been thinking about this and listening last week to Ferret's mom's interview of participation and observer and those sorts of things. I've been trying to think if fandom in the way that we talk about it on Discord, on AO3, on Tumblr, is very, you know, internet based. And it's like, do I start there with my first fandom that I was on the internet for and I like participated in, or do we go, you know, even further back? Because I feel like I've been a fan of things my whole life and I jump in feet first. And I remember being a kid of just like, got to get all the toys, all of the movies, all of the merch, you know, being a teen of got to get all the CDs of the Backstreet Boys, got to get every poster and every magazine. But there was no internet for me at that time. Being the early 90s, because we didn't get our first computer till I was in high school at our house. So it's like, where do I draw that line of what is fandom to me? Because I feel like my whole life has been, you know, whatever I'm kind of obsessed with at that moment and grew up making stories up and wanting to put myself into the stories I was reading, the books I was reading, the stuff I was watching. You know, stuff like that. But the first fandom I think I, you know, was on the internet for of the way we think of fandom, writing fanfic, reading fanfic, was Lord of the Rings. In high school, we'd gotten a computer and I had met Mr. Bear in high school. And I remember talking with him and he's like, oh, there's this place, they have fanfiction, it's called fanfiction.net. I was like, oh, what is this?
tell me more.
Right? And then I was like, there's fan communities. And I don't remember the site off the top of my head, but it was definitely like a forum style site for Lord of the Rings, and people could share headcanons and share fan art. And, you know, it was almost like Discord where it's like, but it was more, you know, if you remember the old forums and chat rooms where you could, you know, post and then someone else would respond and it'd be like threaded comments. I got a live journal at that point, some point in high school. Spent a lot of time in the fan communities on LiveJournal, following people, and did write fix and post fix. I hope they're buried now. And through high school and college, got into anime fandoms, and I graduated college. And we still had a computer, but internet was always very spotty. So I'd like go to the library and download new episodes of anime or new chapters of manga or new fanfics to read at home. And then my dad died. And I remember kind of not liking anything anymore. It feels kind of weird to say that. I'm sure I spent my time doing something those couple of years, but I don't actually remember. And then my friend was like, it's this 2012, and they're like, Avengers is coming out, we all gotta go see it. And I'm like, whatever. And he's like, no, you got to see it. You got to see all the movies ahead of it. So I was like, fine. You want to play these movies? I'll watch them. No biggie. And we watched Captain America, the First Avenger first. I was like, that's fine. That's cool. That's interesting. And then he put on Iron Man. I was like, it's like when the Wizard of Oz, it goes from black and white into color.
Yes.
That's kind of what it was like watching Robert Downey Jr. in Iron Man. It's like, oh, I like this. So I was able to get Iron Man 2 and I think Thor on Netflix at the time. Watched them back to back right away. Loved Loki. Loki was for a long time my like main person, him and Tony. I was a big Frost Iron shipper. And 2012, I think it was like February of 2012 or March, I had gotten my Tumblr. Or not my Tumblr, my Tumblr. And then, you know, Avengers had come and I wasn't into it yet. I didn't really see it on my dash. And then once I saw the movie, I was like, oh my God, I have to like get into this. So yeah, it was big, that kind of early 2012 Tumblr Avengers experience. I think I got my AO3, if I checked my stats the other day, it was December of 2012. And the rest is kind of history. You know, I've been dipping in and out. There was a period of my life where I was seeing the movies opening night, midnight, and then, you know, faded away and I'd see them in the theaters if I could, if not, get the DVDs. But Endgame definitely really brought me back full force, I think like a lot of people did, this kind of closing of this chapter. And Tumblr had kind of killed fandom with, you know, the porn ban and stuff like that. But I saw people starting to come back and people talking. And I think I ended up following a couple people, ended up following you. And you kind of introduced me to the Discord side of fandom because you were starting this podcast, which I don't know, you know, if we knew what was going to happen at that time last year with
COVID
and
everything. We definitely did not. Oh, we definitely did not. No.
Yeah, it really saved a lot of, you know, this past year of not being able to go hang out with my friends, which is something that we, you know, Mr. Bear and I do, you know, we would do several times a week. We'd go over to people's houses and play video games or watch YouTube or play board games. So finding Discord kind of at, you know, at the beginning of all that really kind of changed my fandom experience the past year, which is great.
It's been very fun to get to know you throughout this year, but also at the beginning when you were like, I'm not a writer. And then you write and all of us are like, oh my God, please write more.
Really think of myself as a writer, which is weird. I know I should, but in my mind, it's like, oh, that's not me. I just, you know, piddle around with this. I'm not like these other writers that are writers. But yeah, I mean, I used to write. And yeah, it's like when I lost my dad, I just didn't want to do anything. And when I found the Avengers fandom, I don't think writing ever came to my mind as something I could do or wanted to do. I remember leaving prompts for people in the Live Journal was still alive a little bit in 2012. Like there was a Avengers kink meme. And that's how I found AO3, was people, instead of linking their things on Live Journal anymore because people were getting banned and, you know, the strike through, people were leaving their links to AO3. And I was like, what is this? But yeah, I remember like, you know, leaving prompts for people there. And then, but the idea of writing, you know, never occurred to me until I got to Discord and you guys were like, oh, we have a bingo card for the server and there's this. And it's like, oh, I could do the thing. So.
I think that's the way it is for a lot of people, that they enter in different ways. I mean, I came in as a writer, but I never would have ever thought I could do this, or I could have done podficking. I definitely didn't think that I could have ever made a mood board or have written dark fic. You know, I mean, I think one of the greatest jokes is that we all say we all hated ABO before we came in and now we all write it. but I think that that's a really cool way of fandom. And when I think of fandom, one of the things I do think about is obviously community, obvs. We talk about that all the time. But I've been talking a lot about Bridgerton in my offline life. And for people who have not listened to previous episodes or have not met me in Discord, which you're welcome, I guess. Like I'm chaos. But I love romance novels. And one of the reasons that I've asked Moody to be with me here in this particular episode, in which we're talking about love and the natures of love versus romance versus porn versus kind of everything, is to talk about kind of some of the ways in which fic and romance are parallel genres, I guess, in a way.
Totally.
And the, some of the tropes that we all kind of enjoy and things like that. But one of the true things for me about fandom is that it is about love in a lot of ways. It's not just about love of the characters we're celebrating if you're a shipper, but it's about love of the thing. And celebrating that love in a whole lot of ways. And I think we form a lot of relationships with each other that become very, very much various definitions of love. Very famously, the Greeks had four different words for love because the one word didn't encompass it. And one of those is agape. It's the kind of communal, familial love that I think a lot of us experience in fandom, or that we would call found family, the way that Joss Whedon baited us into waiting for found family. All that to say, talk to me a little bit about when I say, well, romance and fic are kind of the same thing. Talk to me about what sparked in your brain when I said that to you.
Well, I agree. And I am a reader and have always been a romance reader. We've discussed this on servers and things like that. But for me, they almost kind of grew up in the same time for me because, you know, this in high school, I got my first computer, all this stuff. But also I had friends introducing me to romance novels kind of at the same time. We had like a little club. We would share them because these girls were a little bit older or had family members they could take the books from or they could buy them on their own. I could not. I grew up in a very religious household. Not like super, super religious, but definitely my mom never read anything like that. There was no bookshelf for me to go raid of that. My sisters did not have those books. They're, you know, 8 and 4 years older than me, did not have those books that I could just sneak into their rooms and take them. So I had to kind of find it myself of when I was kind of allowed to have a little independence and go to the library myself and check out what I wanted myself on my own card or get from my friends. Kind of the same time of like learning about, it's like, oh, there's fic and all this stuff. And I definitely see them kind of intertwined because I was looking and thinking about tropes and what we have at the library and how things have changed so much that now I think a lot of romance novels resemble fic. And several of the people on servers have said that of like, I read, you know, Red, White, and Royal Blue or Boyfriend Material and it feels like a fic. This is Steve and Tony. And this is a fix that someone changed the names on and published it because they're kind of colliding in this way. Friends to lovers or enemies to lovers or fake dating, things like that, that we enjoy so much in fic are common themes in romance novels.
Very much so. I mean, and I've said it before, but the general definition of a romance novel is that the thrust of the story is about a couple or a relationship of two or more people. The story is centric on that relationship and it ends with a happily ever after or happy for now. And so in AO3 terms, it's a ship story that has a resolved ending.
And a happy ending
ending. Yes. Yeah. And that's it. That's the boundary of a romance novel. So there's a lot of really great books out there that we now classify as women's fic, women's lit. And I have feelings on that. I'm sure you do too. But where they're a lot more about like the woman's internal journey. She may end up married. She may end up with friends. It may be about three sisters in one book. That's not romance. It can't be because it's about more than one central relationship.
Yes.
And because fan fiction is generally about a central relationship, whether that's team as family or Steve and Tony or Bucky and Loki, it's a central relationship and the fic tends to focus on that. And so I think that's one of the reasons that it's easy for people to see the parallels in them. Yeah, and then the tropes are very, very similar. I think I could read, I love fake dating in fic and I love it in published novels. It is my god tier trope.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And I've been, you know, thinking I was this past week, you know, since you kind of broached the subject to me and as I was shelving and checking people out, you know, what are people reading? What is being written? What is being published? And so much is changing. And I think a lot of people, when they hear romance novels, they think white couple. They think heterosexual Fabio on the couple. Cover. if Fabio on the cover and then her dress, which is never historically accurate.
Ever, but know, it's like
art her navel.
Yeah. Maybe, and it's like, it's always dramatic, and there's all, they're always in a field somehow.
Wind. Like. He's wearing a kilt. And I, you know, I was like looking at the, some of the covers, definitely we still have those. And almost covers kind of act as like, not a tagging system, but definitely a clue to what the book is going to be about. You can definitely tell it's like, this is a historical romance. This is a contemporary, you know, this is, but you're I'm seeing so many more covers where it's just like, you know, here is a lesbian romance, and here is a male romance, a gay romance. Here is a interracial couple. Here is a completely non-white couple on the cover. And it's just like, wow, this has kind of changed before our eyes without any notice. But everyone, when you think romance novel, you think Harlequin. You think exactly like the stereotypical Harlequin romance novel. A lot of people will say that, you know, when we start talking about it on the servers, they're like, oh, Harlequin. It's like, and that's totally fine for everybody who loves that and that is their jam. But so many new things have popped up and it's just like, wow, I feel like sometimes it is so indistinguishable. You know, reading a published book, it's like, this could be fic. This only except, you know, his name is, you know, Luke and Oliver instead of, you know, Steve and Tony. Because we all just, we love it so much. And I think a lot of published writers are fic writers, and you've told me that as well. They're people who have secret AO3 names that they won't tell anybody.
Yeah.
That right for, I think, Stucky, I think you said.
Yes. Yeah. And I know the Sherlock's got a couple as well. Yes. And the House fandom, I know, has at least two that I personally know of. I don't know any Steve and Tony ones, regardless of what Jay says. I am not Alexis Hall, and I did not write boyfriend material. No. I don't know any Stonies, but I will endeavor to find them in the rest of my life. But just to give people an idea of what the bestsellers in romance published, traditionally published are right now, just pulled up Amazon. Now there's a lot of Bridgerton on there at the moment.
Yeah.
And
which is all, you know, republishing. Yeah.
All republishing, which is fine with me.
Yeah.
And I'm gratified to know that my two favorites are in the top 10, which is the fourth book, Romancing Mr. Bridgerton, and the second book, The Viscount Who Loved Me. They are my two favorites. But I'm also seeing, you know, some stuff, some plot lines that would be very reminiscent in fic. I've got a mafia AU, essentially. I've got a I've got a MMA fighter AU. I've got a professional footballer. So we've got a sports one. I've got a billionaire and a secretary.
That you see a lot of those at the library.
Yeah. I've got shifters. I've got something called alpha something. So the themes are very similar.
Yes. We actually have a sudden influx recently, and I don't know if it is a patron requesting it, but I keep seeing these alpha and then the hero's names. It's like Alpha Caden or Alpha, you know, whatever. Books coming through, and I was like, oh my god, like ABO is coming to the library. When did this happen?
It's Kindle Unlimited has unleashed a new world. So I joke all the time, and I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I think Kindle Unlimited is the AO3 of the publishing world.
Oh, probably. Probably, yeah.
Because
and we is, never I mean, used to,
I just feel like anything goes on Kindle Unlimited, like, because it doesn't cost Amazon like a whole heck of a lot to publish something in their own internal publishing. And so it's one of the reasons it's not nearly as free as fan fiction. People still have to pay money. You still have to format stuff. Like, it's still business. It's still commerce. Don't get me wrong. But the barrier to entry of self-publishing something on Kindle that then gets distributed through Kindle Unlimited versus publishing it with Random House and having, you know, Avon imprint and all of that are vastly different worlds. And so if you want to write 500, you know, I think the minimum on Kindle Unlimited is 30,000 words. I think that's the minimum. So if you want to write 30,000 words of a werewolf pack story, have fun. It costs Amazon almost nothing. You won't make any money, but have fun. And that's a little bit of what AO3 is. It's just, it's the wild, wild west in some really beautiful ways.
It really is. And something must have changed recently at work, and I've been meaning to ask, but we never used to be able to get things that were independently published at our branch. It was only what, you know, our provider that we buy our books from, what they offered. And something must have changed because I keep seeing these newer ones. And it's kind of obvious to me, the quality of the book, the cover, the quality of the photoshopping on the cover definitely stands out. You know, the books definitely feel like cheaply published, whereas opposed to, you know, trade paperbacks have a size and a look and a feel to them, or hardbacks or whatever. So like when I'm showing books, I'm like, what is this? And I found one. I actually sent a picture of it to the other day that had the final line. And then right after it was, please rate and review us on Amazon.com. Yep. So, yeah, and it, you know, it's like one of the barriers, I think, to romance novels is, one, there are no tags, but also the cost, you know, to go buy a book, either buy an ebook, a physical copy, and honestly, it's like, go to your library and see if they'll buy it for you, or buy an ebook version of it for you. That's what I've been doing. That's how I've been able to read the ones that I've been reading that you've been recommending. Because it's like, well, we don't have it, so I'm going to ask us to buy it. And that's what your library should be doing, because, you know, your taxes have paid for it, and that's their funds, and you get to decide how it's spent. So definitely, you know, I'm seeing more and more come up, and then things I haven't ordered but I want, it's like, ooh, somebody is listening, whoever it is that, I think we have an algorithm that does some of our ordering. But it's just like, oh, I didn't have to ask for the new, you know, Casey McQuiston book. It's already been ordered. Because I asked the, you know, them to order Red, White, and Royal Blue for me. So.
And that'll be a really interesting thing, because it's female-female, which is not nearly as popular in either in fandom or in traditionally published romance.
No.
So I'm excited. That's shifting a little within traditionally published. I don't think it's shifting fast enough within fandom. Now, I say that. I am not active in any fandoms that actually feature or celebrate women in the canon. Really, yeah. So that could be different in some other places, but like even in Game of Thrones, I didn't find a whole lot of female-female when I was active in reading that fandom, never for producing it, but in reading that fandom. I still think it's very male or het centric, depending on what fandom you're in. I could be wrong.
But yeah, I've definitely seen some writing challenges, and we've shared some with everybody on the servers and stuff like that, of looking for, you know, we want authors that are telling things from their perspective, non-binary authors, lesbian authors, gay authors, and even to the point of like maybe ace or a romantic authors and telling their stories, and like how you said love, there's all these different versions of love and things like that. So that's definitely starting to change, because it's like, well, if these challenges are out here, there must be books that must fit this challenge. I just have to find them. And that's been a really great exercise for me. While I'm at work, I can sit here and look through our catalog, our ebook catalog. I can look through the catalogs of the surrounding counties and see, okay, what are we offering? What can I ask to purchase? There's purchasing limits per person. What can I request? And, you know, what books fit these briefs? And it's like ordering them so that it's not just me. I'm hoping someone will find it on the shelf and then have a great experience reading something from a new perspective that isn't het-centric, that isn't white-centric, that isn't you know, what you think of as traditional romance. So
yeah, and for some people, stories that feature consent is different for them in their romance stuff. And Saber and I have talked about this in the server. Actually, she prefers the kind of like 1980s Judith McNaught dramatic yes. specials, which, like, honestly, I get it. That, like, Flowers in the Storm by Laura What's Her Face is one of my favorite books, and it is terrible. but it's not terrible, but it's of a time. But there is so much more of a focus on consent and pleasure and grounded in reality kind of stories. I mean, all romance is still high fantasy, all romance is high fantasy, but
yeah,
it feels different, especially with like books like the kiss quotient. Did you get a chance to read that one ever?
Not yet. It's definitely on my list. My poor to be read list just gets longer.
Oh no, trust me. I'm looking at my bookshelves right now, and I think if the physical manifestation of my to be read list, like, it would literally kill me. Like, if my bookshelves fell on me, I would be a dead flame. it's a neurodivergent heroine written by an Asian woman, and the character is Asian. And it's a like, she hires an escort essentially to teach her how to have sex, because she can't figure out like what the big deal is, and which is amazing. And that came out couple years ago, and like, and was absolutely it's a huge hit. And she's gotten a pretty big book deal with Berkeley on the success of that book. So, but I mean, when I started reading romance, I was the person that stole it from my grandmother's bookshelf. And I was also in a religious household, but my mother has squared that circle in a very specific way for her entire life. But like, my mother and I did a road trip to Nora Roberts's Bed and Breakfast couple years back for her birthday. So like, we read these together, which is quite nice. We watched Bridgerton together, which is a moment, watching some of those things with your mother.
I was not allowed to see that scene in True Lies. Mom held a blanket in front of the TV, so I could not see. Like, that was the house I grew up in. Scenes like that, anything like that. But I remember distinctly seeing like rated R movies as a kid, because I remember seeing like Jurassic Park in theaters in the 90s. So I was like, dinosaurs eating people was fine, but whatever Jamie Lee Curtis was doing on screen, and I still don't know to this day because I've never sought it out, but it's just like, I could not see that.
That was verboten.
Exactly.
Oh man, Americans and sex, we have such a terrible relationship with it. So it's been interesting, like those stories that I'm reading now, we would not have read when I was starting to read either 25-ish years ago.
And consent was one of those things that one of the reasons I kind of drifted away from romance for years, was because it's like, oh, it's like, you know, this just seems so not something I would enjoy, of him just, you know, here we go, and we're going to just shove it in. And that's kind of how it was written. And everything was just kind of glossed over, of like talking about things and setting boundaries and asking, can I do this? Can I do that? And then coming back to it all these years later, it's like, oh, people talking about things and men performing, you know, oral sex on a woman, or asking, can I touch you? Can I kiss you? Was like a revelation of like, oh, these things are here. The things I've always wanted to see in my romance. Because it is fantasy, but for me, it's also, you know, you want certain boundaries to be there. And it's totally fine if you love the bodice rippers and, you know, no shaming. Everybody's got their own thing. But I think it was just a really great thing, so that as everything changes and as we move forward, are reflected in our fiction and our fantasy.
And I think there's been some parallels to that with fandom. Like, when my first internet fandom was Dawson's Creek, and there was no slash at all in that fandom that was popular. Pacey and Dawson was not a ship that got a lot of traction when the show was on. It wouldn't surprise me if it does now, but it didn't when the show was on. And I wouldn't have even dreamed of pairing anybody but Joey and Pacey with each other. And as fandom has evolved, and I think some of this is just the influence of the global fandom marketplace too, and the different properties we were introduced to and things like that, we, as the love stories that Western canon at least has opened itself to, has been greatly influenced by fandom. And the number of people in their teens, 20s, and 30s that largely now experience fictional love stories through fandom and through fic is a very different dynamic than 30 years ago, when the primary way that people experienced it was through traditionally published bodice rippers. And the way that we talk about love stories now, and the way that we celebrate love stories now, I mean, like, I sat on my couch this past Christmas, and on the Hallmark Network, there were boys kissing. Like, what boys is this kissing? World? Yeah. It was wonderful.
It was.
And now I should say too, for people who are listening to me and they're like, yeah, but wasn't romance full of like sheiks and stuff like that? It was like the romance industry had just as many problems and continues to problems with racism as everything else does. So don't hear me that it is a perfect industry.
Yeah.
In the same way that fandom is not perfect.
Yeah. There's always going to be, you know, because, publishing houses publish authors that, you know, they make money and people read these, and yeah, you're still going to find one where there is no consent, and, you know, or he's kind of a jerk and you're like, why am I rooting for this guy? And she's in love with this guy, you know? Yeah, that still exists, or things that are, yeah, not perfect. But if you look and you ask around and definitely talk to people, you'll find ones that, that I think people will really enjoy, because it is so much like fic where, even where it's like kinky. And when you think of, say, kinky romance novels, of course, the first thing that comes to mind is like 50 Shades of Grey. That's probably just because they made the biggest splash. But, you know, you're seeing books now where, you know, there's actual negotiations. That's not just like, here's what I like, sign the paper. People have a voice and use it and can explore these fantasies and boundaries. Whereas before, you know, that you never really found that. But there's also things where it's like closed door, and it's just like, this is more about the romance than about everything else. And you don't get to see that part of it.
Yeah. And the plot equivalent in traditionally published books is erotica.
Yep.
And that's actually a separate category. And let me say too, if you are somebody who's into non-con and like, that's one of your kinks, there are romance novels. There's a couple authors off the top of my head right now that I could think of that you should explore. Because that's there too.
It's there.
And in the very motorcycle clubs were a huge thing for a long time. They're waning a little bit right now. But if you love a good mafia AU, honestly, guys, the world's your oyster. So do a lot of traditionally published authors. So yeah, just like, and I'll say, you know, Moody and I both love helping people find the AO3 tags for books in a way.
Oh yeah, yeah, totally.
One of our
my library pays for a I'm sorry
no
my library actually pays for a service. It's called Novelist, and most libraries do cover it. You just kind of have to find it on their website. It's usually listed under like databases or something like that. You'll probably have to give your library card number, but it lets you search by attribute and trope and things like that, so you can sit there and say, I want something that is atmospheric and, you know, has witty banter and has friends to lovers, and it will like collate everything that's in its database and pop out results to you. And then ours at least tells you if we have it in our system, and then takes you to our catalog, so you could put it on hold for yourself.
Ooh, that's handy.
Or it tells you it is handy. It is not a perfect system because it's a database that is run by this group of people. I believe they're all librarians. I was just helping a patron the other day, her author, because I ordered 12 books for her, and she had returned 5 already. So this is a pretty heavily published author. Was not in the system, so I couldn't show her, because she wanted more like that author while she was waiting for her new books to come in. But it gives you read-alikes, so you can put in Stephen King, and it'll give you a list of authors that read similarly, or put in Salem's Lot, and here's books that are similar in theme, and then you can search at the bottom by theme, and click the attributes they have assigned to, say, Salem's Lot, and then do a new search. So it's really great. And there's ways to find books that, say, you read, you know, boyfriend material, you want things that are similar. You can find that entry in Novelist, and it will give you read-alikes, author read-alikes, attributes, and stuff like that.
Amazing. And I'll say too, I'm very active. I'm not a librarian, although I am in my heart, but I do not have the training that Moody has. And I'm very active in the review side of publishing. Yes. So I have been reading and talking about books for a long time. And I'll say, if you're looking for other places, there's so many bookstagrams. If you are on Instagram and you want to read more books, there are people out there who read books that you read too, and they review them, and you can just scroll through. There are review sites, not just Goodreads. One of the biggest in a couple of the biggest in romance are Smart Bitches, Trashy Books, which is one of my personal favorites. And then one called All About Romance. And All About Romance also you can search entirely by tags, and they've been around for like 25 years. So you can search by tag, you can search by theme. They have like special category lists like, oh, would you like a plus size heroine? Here's all the ones that we found. And they publish 2 reviews a day. So there's quite a lot out there. So those are great, but then there's other sites for other, if you love true crime, trust me, I mean, have fun. If you love suspense, mm-hmm. there is so many. So what I will kind of say in summary, as it were, is that however humans express and experience love, art should reflect that. And I am encouraged that both in fic and in traditionally published, we are creeping towards that closer.
Exactly.
Is there anything that you, Madam Librarian, would like to say that we have not covered so far?
You know, just that I feel and I see it a lot at the library. Sometimes people are scared to ask. They're scared to come up and say, hey, you know, and I did have a patron. She was kind of afraid to ask about this book, and it did have alpha in the title. You know, we didn't have it at the time. And I said, you know, here's how to use novelists. Here's how we can find some things. Let's get this on order. And it's like, I don't want people to ever feel that they can't go to a librarian and ask for something. We are not there to judge you. We want people to find what they love and celebrate their joy. And please ask us to find stuff and ask us to buy you things. But if you ever feel that way, see if your library has a digital form or a chat form where you can ask for books or ask for help. My branch does. You can actually order books without talking to a person. We'll do it either interlibrary loan or order it if we can. But yeah, just feel that, you know, no matter what you're looking for, if you are looking for non-con or you're looking for billionaire, you're looking for something that you are scared to talk to another human about, see if they can do it digitally, because you shouldn't be afraid of us, but you know, people are, because you're worried that you're going to get shamed or shushed at the library. And things are changing. There's more of us that work there that share your exact same interests, and you know, once you're done with the book, we'd love to have a read at it. So please just ask. And if you're afraid, try to do it in the way that you feel safest. But guarantee you, we'll do everything we can to either get it for you in some way or another, or put it on a list somewhere. So we do that a lot of times too, especially before we couldn't get, you know, independently published books. We had like a list going of like, you know, see if we can interlibrary loan these, because other branches were, you know, other, you know, systems were getting Amazon published books at the time, like the next county over. So just ask, feel free to ask. We're not there to be a mean librarian and yell at you or say you shouldn't be reading this non-con smut erotica. It's like, we probably have also read it.
And we may have reviewed it. So, and exactly. for any of our international listeners who do not have access, perhaps your library system works differently than the American one. But I can almost guarantee that librarians don't work differently. I've had library cards in 3 different countries now, and librarians are delightful everywhere I live. And if you are somewhere without access to a library and you still want to talk books, you can definitely find both of us at any point in time. And we would love to help you point you to resources. Moody is always a librarian, like in her being, I can say, as somebody who has benefited from this. And I just love talking books as much as I love talking kissy, kissy boys. So kissy, please kissy don't hesitate.
And that's a great thing. We find kissy, kissy boys in traditionally published books now. So
we do. Oh, so many good ones.
As much as I personally hate Amazon, Amazon is, you know, pretty available around the world. You can find these books on Kindle Unlimited or Kindle eBooks or audiobooks or something like that. So yeah, there's options that you have, say if you're not here in America and you can't you can't just go to the library and ask them for it. Amazon's there. And then I know Bookshop is American. I'm not sure if Bookshop has outlets in other countries, but that's, it connects you with an independent bookstore that will, that you can buy the book from, and they'll mail it to you, which is great if you don't want to support Amazon. You still want to support independent bookstores and these authors, that the more you support them, the more you buy their books, the more you request them from the library, the more they get published, because they see that there is a market. You wouldn't think that asking the library to buy a book will matter, but it does, because, you know, as we order them, they all look at those stats of, you know, it's like, well, there's an uptrend in, you know, queer YA science fiction. We'll order more imprints of those books. So yeah, definitely make a stand and say, you know, I want more books that feature XYZ, and ask for it and order them and prove that there's a market for them, because the more we do that, the more we get.
Hear, hear. Yep. Speaking of voting in a way with our wallets, one of the ways that we vote in fandom is with our kudos. So what are some recs that you've got for us that people should experience?
So I tried to think romance, and we had mentioned, you know, PWP plot, what plot, or porn without plot. So I tried to pick one for each of those. And the one that just, you know, and it's so hard to pick, you know, what gives you the butterflies and those feelings of, like, when you're reading a romance, that's kind of why I read it, is I want to feel the bubbly butterfly romance feelings.
Yes.
And one that came to mind was A King for Christmas.
Oh, such
but
a good
I
one.
Am 90, I am 93% Stardust. You know, it's over 100K. But it reads so much like a romance novel to me of, you know, there's the impetus for them to meet. There's reasons why they can't get together. There's, you know, the danger of Ty possibly following Tony, you know, all across the ocean to this new country. And there's that kind of suspension tension and the masquerade scene. And it just, yeah, reads a lot like a romance novel to me, of all of these tropes and things that I love, and, you know, the slow falling in love and that moment of like, oh, I have feelings, you know. Love it so much. It was so great to read it, you know, in bits and pieces, instead of, you know, when I have a romance novel in my hand, I kind of read it cover to cover and the day's gone by and it's like, whoops. I know you do that too.
Oh yeah. I'll look up and be like, oh, it was 6 hours ago. Got it. Sorry.
Missed lunch.
Yeah. Mr. Flame will come up and be like, so is this the same book you were reading the last time I saw you, or is it a different one? And it's a valid question, because things fly when they're on my Kindle.
Yes. But yeah, it's an ABO fic, King Steve, Alpha Steve, and Omega Tony, the tutor for his children, and love it so much. And then I was like, okay, plot, what plot, or porn without plot? I was like, how do you pick? There's so many. And I kind of landed on one by our good friend Robin, Robin TCJ. It's called Good Boys. It was published, let's see, December of 2020. You know, it's less than 3,000 words, and it's Stacconi. It's, you know, definitely more of the kinkier side of plot, what plot. You know, there's lingerie, there's some BDSM elements and stuff like that. And it's like, you just need to know just enough that they're together, they've talked about it, they've negotiated, and move straight on into the porn.
Nice.
Yep. And then my last pick, so I was trying to think, it's like, how do I, you know, this last one, do I go more romantic? Do I go more of the porn smutty side? I was looking through, I found this one, it's from 2017. It's called A Game Show Love Connection by Emphasis on M. It's 43K, and it's a Shrunky Clunks fic where Steve is watching Jeopardy, to catch up on everything he missed while he was in the ice and takes the test and makes it on the show.
Yeah.
Bucky's a showrunner. And it felt appropriate after the loss of Alex Trebek recently, of this kind of love for geeky things and nerdy things. And I grew up watching Jeopardy so much. Don't really get a chance to watch it too much now, but it's just a great, fun fic. The team is so supportive of Steve and his, you know, going on Jeopardy, and they fly out to watch him play his games. And the tension there is, you know, Bucky can't date a contestant. So there's definitely some tension there of, we are attracted to each other, but I can't, but we're going to go to dinner. And there's a pool party scene where it's just a lot of thirst on Bucky's end, because of course.
I mean, but, hi.
Yeah, right? but it's just fun and flirty and all the good vibes of like a quickie romance, instead of like a longer form one, like King for Christmas was just 100K. This one kind of gets everything done below 50, and still leaves you feeling good, and it's fun. And there you go.
And I know you love a Shrunky Clunk story, so, and I do as well. So that's one of your favorite.
I went feral things. When I found that tag. I went absolutely feral and read all of them when I found that tag after Endgame. Because so much had changed between, you know, when I first got into Avengers and dipped in and out and kind of came back, and I was just like, I'm going to do nothing but read post Endgame. And I found this tag, and I'm pretty sure I've read everything in that tag. I ordered it by Kudos and started with, which I think Lucky Seven was at the top, and that's one of my other favorites. And just went down the list. And it was so hard to pick, because I actually pulled out 5 or 6 Shrunky Clunks fix. I was like, how do I pick? And I was like, Jeopardy. I have to go Jeopardy. I have to go Game Show Love Connection.
And obviously, I mean, it fits with the theme of the nerd vibe I feel like we really brought to this conversation.
Probably, yeah. You know, I've always been a nerd. And, but yeah, it's just when something vibes with you and you just kind of jump into it, you know, feet first. That's kind of always been how I do things. And it's so weird to look back over fandoms and things. And it's like, I have such a poor memory, but I remember the emotions that are tied to that time of my life. Of, I don't remember any of the fics I read in Lord of the Rings, but I remember how they made me feel. And the community, and how the community on those early message boards made me feel. And I'm still friends with someone, a friend I made on that first message board. We're friends on Facebook to this day, all these years later.
That's so exciting. I love it. I was thinking, there are books that I've reviewed. I have, like, you know, my top 25 romances that somebody asks me, like, what should they read? Like, that's kind of the mental Rolodex I flip through. And beyond those 25, like, I don't remember a whole lot of things about other books, but I can tell you how they made me feel. And even boyfriend material, like, I read it so much longer before everyone on the server that got excited did. And everyone's talking plot details. I don't remember any of those. I was just like, they're like, and then they did this, and then Luke did this. And then I was like, oh, mm-hmm, yep, totally, totally. Don't remember that at all. Yeah. What I just remember is, like, holding the book and hugging it at the end and being like, this is good book. Like, this is
good book.
This is the, this is it. Yes. And that Farrah and I have talked about that with Fick too. Like, for her and Ashes, they want to crawl inside the Fick and do the, and then this happened, and then this happened, and this happened, and they keep the Fick kind of going in their brain. And my mother and I have always said the best books are the ones that you close and you feel like you've lost friends.
Definitely. And for me, because it's kind of one of the upsides of having a pretty terrible memory, so those ones I want to read again. And I remember how much I loved it and how it made me feel, but I don't remember all of the little details. So it's almost like catching up with your friends again, because I was like, I don't remember the dates they went on or this or that. I just remember how I felt, and I can jump back in and reread it. And I do that with fics sometimes. You know, I think I've reread turns out I have a rose garden, I think probably four times, because I can never remember what all you wrote, but I remember how it makes me feel and how that like bubbly warmth in your chest as you're reading it. That's what's important to me, because then I can wreck it. I'm just like, I don't remember what happens, but you'll love it, promise.
Yeah, sometimes tags, I think we should share more on emotions than anything else, because I don't remember details, but the tag should just be like, this made me feel good, done.
This made me want to, like, I have, you know, those, I don't know if you experience this sometimes when things are getting too good and you have to like get up and walk around the room.
No, I just walk, I read faster because I have to know, like, it's getting so good. I have to like live within it and I can't leave the moment. I have the opposite reaction.
Oh, see, sometimes it's just like, oh, like you almost get like overwhelmed of like, oh, it's happening. Things are happening. And I'm like, I'm going to go take a lap around, go get a drink, come back and like calm down. That's when I know it's good. Because it's just like, it makes you, how you just get like excited. And it's like a physical reaction of, this is so exciting. And, oh, I can't wait for them. Are they going to kiss? Oh, they've been interrupted and, you know, things like that. Or they do kiss. And yeah, then it's just like, kick my feet and giggle and it's like, yay, it happened.
Yeah, the gif you use most often when we're talking about fix is the one from, it's Princess and the Frog.
It is from Princess and the Frog.
Where the woman holding something. Yeah.
Yes. Her name escapes me because, like I said, memory. But yeah, she's like holding a newspaper to her chest and she's kind of kicking her feet, because that's totally how I am. Of just like, I could just sit here and scream and kind of have a physical reaction sometimes because things are so good and make me feel so much. And I'm not so great with putting it into words other than just a key smash or, you know, a gif. God bless gifts.
God bless gifts. And on that note, I'm going to say thank you, because we could keep going forever. I know us. But I will release you back to your life. Thank you so much for joining us. And I will make sure that all the things that we talked about, including all the books that we ran, that I name checked, and some of the apps that, and some of the things that Moody name checked, they'll be in the show notes. And you can always find us on the Pod on the Suit server.
Sure. Thank you for having me. And my DMs are always open if people, you know, can't navigate their library's website and they want me to take a look and they're willing to share that information with me, because it is kind of, you know, personal information. It's the location. I'm always happy to take a look, and because things end up getting buried and, you know, we're librarians, we're not website designers. people don't know how to make things accessible. So I'm always willing to chat with you and help you out.
Amazing. Thanks so much, Moody.
You're welcome.